Part 1.
Chapter 1.
Dear Junal, Mommy's dead. Izzy's dad says we are a family. The Twin Springs family, he says, Izzy and Ava have to play with me. Today we got fireflies. Trapped them in a jar. Izzy's eyes glowed like the fireflies and my tummy fell warm and happy. I ate a fireflies and it roll and play in my tummy. Izzy make me feel good and happy. I love her. I want her to love me too. I want to be this happy forever, to play with Izzy forever. She makes me glow too. Niles.
Chapter 2. Prologue. For her 8th birthday, Diamond didn't wish for a pony, a Nintendo Game Boy, or even to find out who her father was. She wished for one thing: to kill the woman. But the woman was already dead. Diamond plotted a path towards Happy Springs Motel and avoided the worst parts of the cracked, uneven sidewalk, but stomped in each puddle of water. Rain soaked her long braids, and the soggy paper bag of groceries she carried dwarfed her. She ignored the roar of the cars that passed her on Virginia's U.S. Route 1 as she squeezed the bag closer to her flat chest. The red strands of her bangs blurred her vision, and she blew them out of her way. "Couldn't even get one lousy wish," she grumbled. A quick wipe across her face with the back of her hand only paused the raindrops that dripped from the brim of her hoodie and down her nose. She dug into her back pocket for the oversized green key ring to hotel room 115. Home, at least for today. Resentment churned in her stomach. She scrunched her freckle-covered nose and her eyes stung with unshed tears. She sniffled, rapidly blinked, and shunned the weakness. Pushing hard on the door, she fumbled with the key. The rain-swelled door wouldn't budge. She muttered under her breath, "Stupid hotel, stupid door, stupid wish." Shoving her small shoulder into the door, she pushed with all her weight. With a groan, the door released, and she stumbled forward. The toe of her tennis shoe snagged on the crooked threshold and she fell heavily, scraping her knee through the already gaping hole in her jeans. She flattened the mountain of cellophane bags and a tall, lean jug of milk tumbled from the ripped sack. A giggle escaped her lips. "I'm okay, Mom. The ramen noodles saved me." No response. Her heart picked up its pace and thudded hard in her chest. She scrambled to her feet. A quiver of fear laced her voice. "Mom?" Her panicked gaze searched the room. Sucking in a great breath of air, she prepared herself for what she might find. Raindrops, stale cigarette and pot smoke combined with the smell of lavender filled her nostrils. Immediately, she understood why her mother sat frozen on the bed, hugging her pajama-clad legs with her head averted towards the wall. The woman was here. From the corner of her eye, she caught a glimpse of scraggly, long gray hair before the woman's black and white form faded into the wallpaper. With a swoosh of air, Diamond released the breath she'd been holding. Relief flooded her limbs. Her mother was okay. Until the next time the woman came. Bending down, she filled her arms with the little square noodle bags and dumped them between mounds of half-melted candles on the out-of-date wooden dresser.
"Hey, Mom. Got some grub."
In the dimly lit room, her voice was overly bright and loud. On the corner of the old dresser, a half-full jug of milk laid in a bed of melted ice cubes. She dragged the milk out, twisted off the lid, and sniffed. Wrinkling her nose, she replaced the lid and dropped the jug into a small, open trash can. Hooking her fingers through the handle of the new milk, she plopped it in the bucket.
"Don't worry, I'll get more ice."
She tossed her wet hoodie on top of a small heap of clothes in the corner. Her gaze lingered on the TV, and she longed to drown out the morning with an episode of Full House. Instead, she walked over to her mom, her purple Skechers squishing with each step, brushing aside the little bottles of pills that helped her mom get through her days and nights. She crawled up on the bed and snuggled beside her. Her mom was old, almost 30. Reaching up, she stroked her mother's once vibrant red hair back from her high forehead. Her mother felt cold to the touch. She had for years. Diamond assumed that was how the walking dead felt. Cold. Her mother clutched her hand within her frigid grasp. Diamond stroked her mother's bone-thin fingers and then linked hands. The blue veins were easily visible through her sheer, pale skin, like an opal, once blazing with color, but now faded. "Whoever named you must have had a magic eight ball or something. Opal fits you, unlike my stupid name." She stared down at her dirty jeans, faded to a light blue with holes and frayed bottoms. She owned two pairs of jeans from the Salvation Army, three t-shirts, plus her rocking Skechers and a stupid pair of ugly, bright yellow rain boots that her mother had insisted she needed. Tossing one of her long, wet braids back over her shoulder, she brooded. "I'm not rich or shiny. Diamond's a stupid name." Opal shifted on the bed and paper crinkled under her. Her voice cracked. "You're strong. Brilliant. Perfect name." The crinkling sound drew Diamond's gaze. She tugged a piece of lined paper out from under her mom's butt and studied the huge brick building that her mom had sketched. The building was long, with arms stretching out to each side. A tall tower grew out of its body like a long neck, with a shiny, bald head at the top. She snagged the pencil from behind her mother's ear and, with quick, talented fingers, rounded off the top of the tower and drew in the face of a clock. "Right here. This is where the clock goes." She flipped the pencil around and scrubbed the eraser across the paper. "The columns aren't round. They're arched in curves, like this." She glanced up and searched her mom's face for approval. Opal's washed-out green eyes filled with moisture until a single tear slipped down over the protruding bones of her cheeks. Diamond caught the tear before it dropped and blinked up at her mom. They both had green eyes and red hair, but they couldn't have been more different. Her brows furrowed. "Why can't she fight? Fight the sadness for me?" Quickly, she crumpled up the paper, the tear and the pencil together. She wanted to absorb her mom's pain and squeezed the small bundle until the sound of the pencil breaking popped within the silence. "Just a stupid building. Stupid. We can draw anything we want." She dipped her head and swallowed hard to press back tears. "How about the mountains? You love drawing mountains." The scent of lavender flooded the dingy room. Opal stiffened and turned back towards the wall. "Why don't you go play? Grab something from the vending machines. Use the money from the dresser." With each word, her voice broke, as if it was difficult for her to pull the sounds through her clogged throat. "I just need time. Then we can draw." Diamond couldn't see the woman yet, but she smelled her, felt her, knew in her belly that she was coming. She grasped her mom's hand the best she could with her two small ones. "It's okay. I'll stay with you." Her chin dipped to her chest and Opal shook her head. "Take your time. Light some candles and crack the window before you go." Fury beat within her heart. She realized her mother was trying to wash out the smell of lavender, just like she tried to wash out everything else in her life. Why couldn't she just tell the woman to go away? She stomped over to her hoodie, pulled it over her head, and struggled with the wet fabric. Her head popped out and she heard her mom furiously whispering. Dragging the rest of the hoodie down her front, she watched her talking to thin air. The lavender stench thickened within the room and gagged her with its overbearing weight. Reaching over the dresser, she pushed the curtains aside and tugged the window wide open, not caring if the rain came in and ruined the ugly dresser. One by one, she lit her mother's candles, and their various fragrances combated the reeking lavender scent. She pretended not to notice the woman taking full form. The hem of a long, ratty dress, filled in with grays and fluttered without the help of a breeze. Bit by bit, the long length of her body and the rest of the tent-like dress appeared and filled in. Her charcoal-colored hair clung to her ashen face and cascaded around her shoulders. Only her glowing silver eyes and dark gray lips penetrated the mass of hair that covered her face. Leaning down, her lips brushed Opal's ear, and she urgently whispered. Opal shook. She popped one of the bottle's lids and sprinkled her palm with the little pills before she tossed them in her mouth and swallowed them with a flick of her head. Rubbing a piece of the broken pencil against her jeans, Diamond hesitated.
Mom, I'll get something later. Let's watch a show. I'll make you beef ramen. Your favorite. We might even have some hot sauce left. I can spice it up for you.
Her heart beat faster, and the woman glowed in different shades of gray, just like a character from an old TV show.
Please, let me stay with you.
Again, the woman leaned down and whispered. Her mom slouched beneath the blankets and covered her head. It didn't matter. The woman continued to speak. Her voice muffled. Opal yelled from beneath her blankets.
Fine, I'll tell her. Wear your rain boots, Diamond.
She studied her favorite shoes, not wanting to be parted from their pretty purple and white design for even a minute.
But Mom,
she whined.
Do as I say,
her mother's voice slurred as the pills took hold.
Wear the damn boots.
Glaring at the woman, Diamond kicked off her wet shoes. She shoved her feet into the stupid yellow boots, and her bare skin skidded against the rubber insides. The boots came high on her knees, and she felt like a complete reject. Turning back towards the dresser, she removed the striped birthday candle that she'd snuck out of the store and relit it on one of the candles. She closed her eyes and whispered, I wish I could kill the woman. I wish I could kill the woman. I wish. She blew hard, opened her eyes, and looked back at the bed. The woman stroked the mound of blankets covering her mom. Her heart felt like a heavy stone in her chest. She rammed cash, along with a green room key, the broken pencil, and her mother's drawing, into her boot. Grabbing the door handle, she tugged hard to free the door. Stupid wish, she muttered. Rain dribbling from the overhang above, Diamond sat on the cement next to a vending machine with a bag of Cheetos and chugged down her second Pepsi. The heat and the soft hum from the back of the machine soothed her frazzled nerves. She licked her orange fingers before wiping them down the front of her hoodie. Her favorite meal, Cheetos and Pepsi. Tossing another Cheeto into her mouth, she sipped a little Pepsi and enjoyed the feeling of the pop snapping against the Cheeto until it became a soggy mess within her mouth. She munched it down and chased the Cheeto with another slug of Pepsi. She scowled down at the stupid yellow boots. Reaching into her right boot, she pulled out the piece of notebook paper and smoothed it out on the cement between her spread legs. Leaning forward, she added mountains to the background, a curved driveway and a pool off in the distance. Her quick strokes didn't hesitate. She'd dreamed about this building every night of her life. Shading in the glint of the sun off the rows of tiny double windows that ran the length of the roofline across each arm of the building, she scarcely registered the smoke that tickled her nose. It wasn't until the wailing fire trucks screeched to a stop in front of the motel that she glanced up. She watched the firemen in their heavy coats. Her lids grew heavy from the warmth of the vending machine as they dragged long hoses from their trucks. Disinterested, she focused back on her drawing, then hummed in tune to the vending machine. Gradually, the woman took form next to the soda machine, dull as the world outside the hidden spot. Diamond's small body tingled, warning of her approach. Her heart picked up and beat faster and faster. Her hand shook as she shoved the paper and pencil back into her boot. Once the woman had fully formed, she understood and clambered to her feet. Awkward in the big rain boots, she raced from her hiding spot. A fireman scooped her up before she charged headfirst into the gaping hole, blackened with smoke, that was once room 115. Over his shoulder, she noticed the owner of the dump pointing towards her and speaking to a young woman in a cobalt blue rain jacket. The stranger popped open a golden yellow umbrella that looked like the sun shining. In high-heeled shoes, she purposely picked her way across the parking lot, stepping over the spiderweb of hoses and mud puddles. She tapped the shoulder of the fireman, opened a folded piece of leather, and showed a card to him.
Social services? I'll take her from you.
Placed on the blacktop, Diamond's legs trembled beneath her. The stranger bent down and the hem of her skirt trailed in a mud puddle.
I'm Miss Dodd. I'm here to take care of you. Her eyes were the color of a clear blue sky and swept Diamond up and down. Nice boots. I should have worn mine. It's always good to be prepared. Her smile was prettier than any Diamond had seen. What's your name?
Where's my mom?
She sniffled, guessing the answer but wanting the stranger to say it, needing to be told what she feared. Miss Dodd's eyes clouded, and she gazed over her head towards the hotel room.
What's your name, sweetie?
Diamond,
she replied, wiping her nose with the back of her hand.
What a beautiful name,
she murmured in a soft voice.
What's your last name, sweetie?
She listened to the rain tapping on the top of the umbrella and watched as tiny drops flowed down the outside and dripped around them. Her throat thickened. Tears escaped from the corner of her eyes and blended in with the rain on her face.
Don't have one.
It's just Diamond.
Her voice careened high until it was unrecognizable, even to herself.
I want Mommy!
Secluded in another world under the golden umbrella with Miss Dodd, she learned that her mother had finally escaped her pain. Diamond's birthday wish had finally come true. She'd killed a woman, just the wrong one. Now, she was all alone in the world. Alone with the woman.